selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club.
Chip, we're already late for church. I'm so stressed out.
I know, but don't worry, little Pop-Tart. God always has a way of opening a door and then opening a window for us.
Oh my God, stop. Stop right now. Stop right now. Do you just see the antique store?
Oh, okay, little lady. All right, let me just pull over. I know we're late for church, but hey, if you see a sign, then that's a sign from God that I better stop. All right, I'm just pulling over in our big, beautiful American-made SUV.
Oh my God, it's a vintage rickety sleigh. Chip, do you have any cash on you? I'm buying it. I want to dress it up. I'm going to paint it white. And then I think I'm going to add bells to it. And it can actually be a door knocker. It's a sleigh door knocker.
You know what? I always carry $3,000 in cash on me. I'm happy to pull that out for you. Anything else you might want, my little squawk box?
Oh, look. It's a vintage axe. I think was used by the Confederate Army. This would look so cute in my sister's husband's man cave shed.
Oh, you're thinking that could be maybe door handles on the entertainment unit.
God gave you to me.
Now, little Jojo, what do you think about this cannon from the Spanish-American War? It looks to be in full operational capacity.
God, you have the darndest, craziest ideas in this gosh darn world that God built.
That's me. I just love getting together with my college friends and shooting hoops and making bets and playing cards and not drinking too much.
Let's get the cannon and let's get to church, okay? Because I have some goats to pick up later.
Hot diggity dog!
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk. Celebrity Book Club. No boys are allowed. Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey best friend!
So good to see you.
It's so good to reunite with good old friends over a cool glass of sweet tea.
Or in my case, a nice zero-calorie can of Diet Coke.
This is the first time I think I've ever seen you drink Diet Coke. You're a big Coke Zero head.
I'm not really a big Zero or Diet head.
Well, your family, I guess, was Zero.
My mom, like, goes on a weird, like, tip where she'll buy Fresca for, like, 6 years and then buy, like, Coke Zero for another 6 years. She's really trapped in, like, 1989 and her, like, understanding of, like, diet beverages.
Coke Zero to me is very millennia.
It's fine. I mean, what I need is sharpness, okay? I want my mouth to be at war with bubbles.
Well, and I think that first sip feeling.
Yeah,
hashtag that first sip feeling. To quote the can, it really gives you that. But people are crazy about Diet Coke. It's, you know, I recently was on a vacation, Fire Island, with 4 amazing queer couples. and everyone was like adorked to Diet Coke. And I'm just kind of starting out, but I feel like I mentioned it. People are like, yes, and just like pounding them. And people are so, welcome to the club.
I do believe that it is poison, and I believe that it is bad. Like, I think sugar-free Red Bull is also disgusting. Like,
I mean, I think Red Bull is disgusting.
But if you have to get it, like, I will go for, if you know, if it's 2 a.m. and you're going to a third location and you need that Red Bull, like, I will go for the full sugar because, like, something creeps me out about something that tastes sweet and doesn't have sugar in it.
Yeah, I guess I'm just so creeped out by Red Bull in general. Like, I'd rather, this is crazy, go home and have FOMO than drink a Red Bull for that next location.
Wow, drawing the line.
Red Bull or go home. I guess I wanted to bring up kind of a conversations about caffeine because, as you know, I'm on a high rolling from my insanely viral tweet about coffee.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. I saw that and I was like, wow. She finally did it.
What was that? Landed on, I think, 150K?
Was that 150K last time I checked? Because, that is real viral. That's not like your 35K,
No, 10K.
One of your, like, friend viral or New York viral. Like, that is viral.
That's viral. To the boots. Absolutely viral boots. I commented kind of on mobile ordering culture.
Yeah, no, I mean,
a stunning photo that I think could be featured literally in Time magazine.
The photo was completely insane. It was an array of like what looked like to be 30 different drinks at a Starbucks,
maybe
like waiting to be picked up. It was
psycho.
I mean, that's why it went viral. Can I ask where this obscene Starbucks was?
Southampton, New York.
Oh.
So every single person was mobile ordering.
Wait, that is so crazy to me. So it's all these Ramonas who are just like, they're doing it on their iPads at home before they leave?
Yes, or in the car.
They're in the car and their car is a phone. They're driving their Tesla and everything is a screen.
And they're being like pink refresher shaken almond milk espresso. And everyone's ordering on their Tesla. And obviously they're getting there. And it's like all the drinks are actually like have been ordered 2 hours ago and they're still waiting an hour for their drink.
So melted.
No, that was
the thing. You're in this line of Teslas waiting for them to hand you your 3 hours melted rainbow unicorn refresher.
And then obviously I went in and I ordered my coffee like a normal, awesome human being. And I got it like in a second.
Hashtag team normal for the win.
Yeah. Speaking of Ramona, I went to her favorite restaurant. And we'll be getting into that
in VIP lounge.
But first, book.
Yeah. I know you really want restaurant reviews. And honey, we've got several for you this week.
We're giving them to you. Okay. Ramona's favorite restaurant, La Parmigiana. Stephen went to Asian restaurants.
I went to 3 different Asian restaurants, including hot new Philippines hotspot Goo Goo Room.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I went to tons of furniture outlets.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and I've been working on saying furniture.
Furniture.
Instead of furniture, yeah. Which is how I usually say it.
How you were brought up to speak it.
Speaking of furniture
and friends and
I'm
furniture.
So freaking, sorry, freaking. Sorry, so actually awesome.
Watch your mouth.
I'm going to watch my mouth.
Of God.
Yeah. I'm so excited to do this book. One, because it's been sitting in the back of my Honda Fit for a while. and because I love them. I'm turned on by one of them.
Yeah, you are.
and they've captured our hearts and they've certainly captured our homes.
And some of our wallets.
Okay.
Of course, we're talking about none other than
Chip and Joanna Gaines and their book,
The Magnolia Story.
How it all happened. And I know this isn't in the title, but 20% off at Target.
with Mark D'Agostino, it is a with. Let us
praise
and celebrate our ghostwriters.
And he's a celebrated People magazine? writer and
is
your
he?
And your Times.
Oh, yeah, is he so that. Like East Coast editor at large, Mark D'Agostino?
Right, Mark D'Agostino. We're at the home of Mark D'Agostino. So I'm a huge Fixer Upper fan.
So I have to say, I'm obsessed with home design and renovation shows. Fixer Upper, I've just like never really gotten into. I'm more like watching House Hunters Renovation or House Hunters International Renovation. I'm very familiar with those programs, but I had never seen their. I mean, because to me, they're almost like the mothership in a way of home reno shows. It's
so
like,
what, you were scared.
Yeah.
To go to the mothership.
Well, also, you know that I'm a
contrarian.
And so it's like, I want to find my own little corner of the home reno world.
Right, you're like, oh no, I like the twins from Seattle or whatever.
Right.
But the thing about Chip and Joanna, I mean, it's hard to escape. Things they invented. Let's just start list them off.
Yeah, well, yeah. So what they're known for is
shiplap,
barn doors,
subway tile.
Yeah,
taking like a home in Waco that's always like filled with so much trash.
It's filled with trash and filling it with
more trash.
And just filling it with so many lanterns and wagon wheel chandeliers
and baskets and metal doors
and the chairs that have the skirts, like the wedding banquet hall chairs. Like every chair has to be in a dress. It's like there's burlap and shiplap and cream.
Shiplap is everywhere. Like, I mean, memes about them.
And the books.
The fake books.
Backwards. So you only see the pages. You
know, they are just a charming couple, you know. And she's you know, straight as an arrow. And Chip is her crazy husband.
Yeah.
Who has all these crazy ideas.
I mean, they do not break the mold at all. I mean, all property renovations, maybe not the Property Brothers because they're creepy twin brothers, but like it's always a husband and wife.
Well, I would say they broke the mold and they were like the original husband wife kooky guy.
They're the first
people
to get married.
They're literally the first people to get married in a church of God. Actually, not in a church. They didn't get married in church.
Yeah, they got married at a beautiful property.
I know. Let's get to their wedding for a second when it's like they're being very Marriage or Mortgage, that Netflix show.
Wait, it literally is, because they were like, we got all this. They're always like, we had like $20,000 to our name, and I had $5,000 in a CD, but we had $7,000 in debt on a property yeah. that we were flipping while we were buying a second property.
And we were living in student housing, and we were expecting another check of $15,000, but that was going to go to our debts.
But so like, his parents gave them money. They give them money for the honeymoon, and then her parents were like, here's, you can either spend money on a down payment on a house, or a wedding, or a honeymoon. They were like, well, the honeymoon's already taken care of.
And they were just being so straight in this way, where they were like, well, done, our honeymoon is taken care of. And they were like, well, we were already like sleeping in Chip's random rental homes for Baylor students, so the house was taken care of. And it's like, kind of,
yeah.
It's just obviously
she wanted her normal Texas wedding. I kind of liked their justification for the normalness of it. Because she was just like, I went and I bought a dress off the rack for $500. Chip and all his best groomsmen.
They got rental tuxedos from
the mall.
That is also, people love to talk about how they got their wedding dress like off the rack or just like at a little store. They're like, you know what? And I just.
Yeah, it's like you didn't go to Vera Wang.
Waco. They're like, so get this. So they get.
Have you seen my mom's wedding dress, by the way?
I feel like we've put it on.
Yeah. I feel like I put you in it maybe at one point.
And it's like totally 80s.
It's very.
Or is it more like it's like hip because your parents have been together for like 900
years. They are
old.
Yeah, it was the 60s. It was so yellowed. I don't know if it was yellowed from being old or like, but it has
piss.
These like. Yes, yeah. It was covered in cat piss.
It's very their first house.
It's on it. It has these flowers that are like. You remember these little flower designs? It's almost looks pixelated. In that like cross stitch way where they're like little squares. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I can imagine it.
I guess you weren't like such a stitching bitch.
Well, I like did sew.
Oh, of course.
I literally
made incredible skirts.
Yeah, I made incredible skirts, and I altered my t-shirt so that they like were really tight like in the stomach area.
You know what I mean, when people have like, I don't know, some like thing, like little like,
and it's like a square
needle point
and a
that
star.
Says like, you know, bless this mess or whatever.
Which is very, I would say also it's like Joanna Gaines like invented Home Goods, like Good and Gather.
She invented Good and Gather, and just like, yeah, home is where the family is, family
is where the coffee
God
is.
God is where the coffee is, food is where the God is.
Or like even
and
just sides.
Boards
and, yes, okay, chalkboards.
But you say inventress, and this is what I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like, so I was watching Fixer Upper last night, And I was like being so to you, and I was like, she fucking invented it,
and you're screaming it, and you're just like, be like, fucking chalkboard bitch.
And then Chase was just like, okay, my mom was like doing lanterns and wagon wheels and like, God bless this coffee, like in 2004. So it's like, okay. I do think that like,
there was God bless this coffee.
The Midwestern, like the, or slash like, anyone in the middle of the country, moms, like, had discovered, like...
I guess, like, signs. I see what you mean. Like,
lanterns and signs.
Right. I guess it's her specific taking the most rusted shutters.
Yeah.
With a barn door, with subway tile.
Yeah, and being like, it's subway tile plus the shuttered table.
You can good and gather together. And the subway tile, can I read a passage? Take subway tile, for example. Subway tile is the most basic, affordable product in the world. It's not a high-end type of material, but you go into any bakery that ever inspired you, maybe one in France, or you look behind the counters in some cool old restaurant, and what do you see on the walls? Subway tile. You look at old pictures of the New York subway system or delis and coffee shops from 100 years ago that just draw your eye and make you long for a simpler time, and there it is. Putting those tiles in a home just works for me. They'll never go out of style. They'll never seem dated. It's like, not true. And the more time I spent in that old house in Castle Heights, the more that notion sank in my heart and showed itself in my work.
Well, and because this is this part of this whole passage where she's just being like, I'm obsessed with the past, like obsessed with nostalgia. Yeah. Like, where's the line where she's just like, we all crave a connection to something old because it reminds us of what we once were. Like, of something we could have been, mixing the old and the new, bringing our own sense of history into the home. I think there's something about things from the past that just calls to us, that triggers a kind of longing. Sometimes you look at a piece of furniture, an old clock, or a piece of artwork, you're just drawn to it. You think, why do I love that piece? Well, chances are because it reminds you of something. Something from history, something from childhood, maybe even something you lost.
Ah.
It's like, I mean, it's beautiful, it's poetic, but it also, you know, this deep nostalgia that she has, it's twisted. Like, you know, she has this, it's, you know, there's something quite conservative about it. There's something fetishistic.
So, by the way, for our listeners, this book is written in husband, wife.
But it's mostly wife, husband.
And him just being like... And his typeface is just, like, less bold, and it will just him being like, oh, Joe, being like, every time I bought a house, she cried.
Well, you know, what's interesting, okay, so she has the serif. Mm. She has a bold serif. He has a non-bold sans serif. He has this kind of fat, like, Helvetica, almost, like, I want to say, like, a bubble tea shop font. And she's being more like this refined font. Which is interesting.
Because he's the kookier.
Because he's kooky. But I feel like it's an interesting choice because this font choice to me is like a little bit more girly than I think that they were intending.
Probably. Well, let's also say it. Joanna majored or minored in journalism at Baylor University.
She was a communications major at Baylor.
Yeah. She also interned. I think this is really where the subway tile comes from. It's that she interned in New York City.
Yeah, for 48 hours.
And then, like, got too homesick. But she's always been like, I love New York City so much because you can, like, walk around and, like, go to delis and, like, go to cafes.
Well, the part where she literally is me, because I was like, okay, so you majored in communications and then you interned
for, like, Palazzon.
For Palazzon. It was just me interning at CNN. And she was just like, oh, I meant to look at my diary that I kept. But it was just me being like, I saw Anderson Cooper from across the room today.
No, it's talk. You are so Joanna. Like, she's being so, like, notebook fresh. Like, I'm going to become a journalist. And I major in communications. And I'm just quiet girl.
And she's like, I couldn't believe that just, like, Baylor didn't have, an internship program with any of the major media outlets in New York at that time. So it was a total, like, reach that I would ever be accepted into an internship program. But I applied with all my spunk and vigor, and they decided to take a chance on me.
Take a chance on
a small girl from a small town.
It's also so you, where it's, like, this whole book, like, is about how they started their Magnolia Empire, but I did feel like halfway through we were, like, still on her internship in this way.
Yeah, I mean, the Magnolia thing, I mean, it spirals at the end. It's very just like, oh, and then the show happened, and then I was like, we're going to buy those silos, and now we have a store.
They are so horny for silos. Their first date, they go to like a restaurant. Everything is so plantation in this way, where they're like, we went to a restaurant in an old,
in a beautiful
stately manner.
I mean, it's the South.
Yeah, South stuff.
And he's like, and it looked like it was right out of Gone with the Wind. And it's like, so pillars.
And so, first off, she's working at her dad's Firestone shop.
Yeah.
Okay. And everyone goes out and they're like, JoJo, like, there's a hot guy outside. His name is Hot John.
The meeting's really weird. So are you, the part with the shaved head? Are you
gonna go? Yeah, yeah. So, and she's like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Like a hot guy, me? I'm just a communications minor at Baylor. And so she goes out and she starts, you know, she gets so nervous. But then there's this guy with the shaved head who just starts talking to her.
Just starts talking to
just
her.
Just chatting.
Question. And when she talks about that, so I listened to the audiobook, by the way. Like,
same.
Huge reveal.
I did both. I'm bi for both.
I did not have this in the back of my Honda Fit for months, okay. So I kind of was forced, as someone of non-book experience, to listen to the audiobook.
Well, and to reveal kind of the craziness of our process is, like, I started reading it, and then I was at Target, and I was inside their massive section.
There's a Chip and Joanna section at Target?
Yes.
Oh, of like,
and
so
it's
many
kind of in
and
the center of the store. It's okay. Like, you enter, and it's just like, and it's like, you are about to enter the Chip and Joanna section.
Wow.
And it's cuter than you'd imagine.
Huh. Like, so it's not so many lanterns?
It's less, well, Good and Gather.
Okay, but this is what, so I watched, okay. I
feel being
like we're going on a lot of tangents right now, but yeah. Let me just say, I agree. I do think that's true because I watched the very first episode of Fixer Upper, mm-hmm. and then I watched an episode from the most recent season. Their aesthetic has softened a lot.
Yes.
And it has, and like, so this, okay, and this is why I do think she's a hypocrite. Because she says in that whole thing about how Subway style is so timeless and like, I love classic things and right. I don't care what's trendy, but it's like, no, they have evolved their style to be,
yeah,
what's trendy.
And also, Subway tile, like, in 100 years, no, let's say 50 years, our grand nieces are gonna like walk into a kitchen that's Subway tile and be like, oh, this is so like 2009 to 2020. And this grand niece is also so us. Like, seeing Subway tile being like,
so Subway tile. And yeah. So the Chip and Joanna Gaines episode of the historic Celebrity Book Club podcast. And then her.
Can you believe what happened to them in the crash? We go down like the big bopper.
Okay, but so there will be Subway tile. And then she is still doing that, but it's like the first episode, it's the most crazily crap-filled house. And there's like big red leather couch and the like skirted chairs and the like, that like so many shutters and books and so many like the wall-mounted horns and then the big Roman numerals clock. And
oh,
then,
yeah, the big Roman. What's also insane about, so this whole, it's like that's them usually just staging the entire house, and then obviously the people move in and they move that stuff out.
Yeah.
But then they give them there's a big part of the show, which is one of my favorites, is when like she finds like a rusted axe, and then they have to go to one of their local Waco makers.
A Waker.
And they're like, he's been like stitching chairs for, you know, the Waco community for 50 years. So we're going to surprise them with this bench axe.
And they're just like, we made an entry bench out of this wax that like isn't important to you, but like is
but
a beautiful
is your grandfather's
piece of your story.
And I feel like they're taking out the skirted chairs, and then it's like after the staging is done, like all that furniture leaves, but then they get to keep
they
like
get that one axe, and then those people are just getting like big weird leather chairs that are so office and kind
right.
of looking off.
Like more random Wayfair stuff.
But the reveals in the new episodes, like it is looking more like the Mormon Design Show. It's more just like all white and like there's not as much shit in there, and it's like a little bit calmer.
Yeah, like the stuff, so the stuff in the Joanna section was just like big wooden salad bowls, like matte plates.
And there, like, probably weren't even any Good and Gather signs.
No, it was there yeah. was no Good
They're,
and Gather.
She's kind of done
she's
with
She's realizing it's yeah. maybe a little more speckled, some speckled plates, like warm earth tone throw pillows. Some stuff that's like a little bit gold, but mostly it's in this kind of pine, cream, orange.
Yeah.
Textures.
The soft texture, natural fabric.
It's a little more like, instead of like going to maybe like a fancy home goods store, you're getting like the knockoff salad bowl or the knockoff like matte pink speckled plate.
Are there, are they even doing, are there like books? Can you buy a whole thing of fake books?
No, you can just buy their books.
I mean, that part is so insane to me because it's like, what if books were like literally not even about pretending to read? What if book is literally just object? Like book right. is just paper.
Which I mean,
there's something honest about it.
It is honest. And her just being like, look, like these Waco folk, you know, maybe they like are reading on their Kindle.
Right.
Like, even though, I mean, this is a whole nother tangent. Chip and Joanna, no TV.
No TV.
No TV.
Wait, okay. Did you figure that? Because at the end of the audiobook, did you hear that part?
Yes,
the end credits?
That was insane.
And then there's this like weird like conversation
with their ghostwriter that's like definitely at the Magnolia Bakery, and the sound is so crazy and it sounds hear, like, documentary.
So many, it's very doc, and you hear people like buying so many candles in the background, and they're talking about their premarital counselor / mentor that they,
which is also in the book. That they talk about.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, okay, but they go more into it. So that. Basically, like, ugh, this is so Christian insane. They found, like, an older couple who they really trust and had pre-marriage counseling sessions with them.
I mean...
But also, honestly, but not maybe to that's be so actually, Christian, no, but, like, I think that is a really good idea.
Yeah, no, just it's genius.
Just to get on the same page about values.
It was just so Christian the way she said it. Like yes. It wasn't... She was just like, so, you know, we had our premarital counselor, you know, kind of like a mentor, really.
Yeah, a marriage mentor.
And they suggested you go 6 months without TV and make sure that you can really talk to each other
have
and really
those
spend
conversations.
Time. And I mean, that is a really good idea, because how many couples do you know this day and age who 3 weeks into a relationship are already just
binging
like fully bingy, grub-hubbed, Netflixed out and just like have nothing to say to each
other? And then they think like, there's a baseless relationship, but it's actually you just have someone to like watch TV with.
Exactly. So I do think that's a good idea that couples should try as a 6 month, and maybe everyone should get a marriage mentor.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
After watching many episodes of the show, and I'm curious what you got from just watching two eps, I do think they kind of like hate each other now, and it's so crazy in business, and like it's all smiles, and like because their whole thing on the camera is her eye rolling being like, Chip, I'm gonna kill you. And I do wonder at this point though, like, is she really gonna kill him? And I heard it's rumored that there's one artisan she goes to that's featured heavily on the show that is her type, which she says quiet and brunette. Because Chip, she says, was not her type, talkative and like redheaded blonde.
Yeah.
And
that part's insane. And she was just like, I never thought my type was brown haired guys who were steady and quiet. Yeah.
And he's like,
be more Baylor than just being like, I never thought I wouldn't date a guy who didn't have brown hair. It's like, what?
What? And he's like, and I thought I was going to date a cheerleader. And then, like, also, they are doing this insane, like, straight Texas Christian thing.
Wait, you think she's fucking this random artisan?
Oh, so I've heard that she's, like, fucking this blacksmith. It could also be, you know, an emotional affair.
Oh, yes, I know the
You're
kind.
You're familiar. Maybe there was a kiss. Like, I do still think, like, Chip and Joanna, like, do fuck.
Well, I mean, like, it's a classic thing where she's always just being like, I loved how he just makes decisions and is the brawn and the muscle. And it's always just thing where you're like, he's the man, he's the top. Like, he's dumb. He's doing things. He's like a chaotic top. Like,
yeah. he was always buying goats and kittens.
To their first date. And, like, but somehow he was charming, and, like, her and, like, her friends were just, like, crying and trying undresses, being like, why is he so late? And then he shows up, and she was like, and within 5 minutes, he had charmed the pants off.
Somehow he had charmed me, and it's like, okay, simmer. I was obsessed with their proposal.
The proposal. Yeah.
He brings her to his hometown mall, lights off.
And then she's like, where are we going? And then he gets on a one knee. I think he must have dropped something. And then he proposes. And then she's like, why are we in this hallway? And then he opens the door to the hallway and they're in a jeweler's.
I feel like they are in like a closed down. Like,
it did sound very Framingham like strip mall.
Yeah, smaller strip mall.
Yeah.
So, right. It's like this closed down jeweler's and he's like, pick something. And then like they talk back to each other like, pick something like that's worth $80. And so she picks out a ring and then obviously like their whole family's waiting for them and then celebrate.
Then there's yet another like door at the other side. Side of the jewelers, and there's like another section of the strip mall, and then her whole family's there.
And so much celebration. And then, like, on their 12th anniversary, like, they invite the jeweler to one of their silos / home renovation projects, and he comes, like, with diamonds.
Right. With this, like, full, like, velvet pillow full of diamonds. Because he's like, I'm finally going to give you a bigger diamond. And I got there, and he was waiting on our porch, and I said, no, Jim, I'm sorry, but you're not going to make the sale today. Because the diamond I got from Chip on our proposal is perfect just the way it is.
I don't need a new diamond.
And very much like every other Christian book we've read, it's like, everything is a sign. Everything is something that's meant to be.
Okay, yeah, let's get
everything
into...
Everything is the way it should be.
So there's Magnolia Shop, and then there's Magnolia Homes. Mm. And Magnolia Shop is like her shop of like redone baskets and axes and sleighs. And she gets a sign from God that says, open this door. So she opens it.
Yeah.
And then at one point.
Well, it's actually a voice. Remember? And it's the same voice that tells her Chip is the guy she's going to marry. And it's also the same voice that later tells her it's time to close this door. And the same voice that later tells her it's actually time to reopen your store.
It's like, huh.
This voice is really obsessed with your store.
Yeah, it's really, I listen to the little voices in my head.
But it's just like, and I'm sorry, but like, I'm calling bullshit. It's like, it's so easy to say retroactively, look at just like a big turning point in your life and be like, a voice told me to do this. It's just like.
Do you mean, when people say a voice, it's like, you mean your thoughts? Like, yeah, I hear a voice in my head too. It's like, thinking? Sorry.
No, I know.
Literally
think much? No, it's like the equivalent of like ADHD people just being like, oh, you know you have ADHD when you're like thinking about a movie you want to watch while you're at the doctor's, and it's just like, that's a thought.
That is a thought.
That's like, called thinking.
And then you check your phone and then you start eating and you're like, again, the body.
A couple of things that I wanted to get into. I felt like this was also yet another example of straight people like not knowing each other.
Really?
Well, in this...
Because they don't have a TV, and I thought we just talked about how they talk all night.
I know, but...
And they actually... I totally... Okay, say
but
your
when,
piece.
But because the moment that made me think was when they're at their wedding, and she was just like... Not that they don't know each other, but that they just, like, don't have anything in common. That they're just, like, so
well,
random.
That's what they say the whole time, which is why they're so horny.
Because
horny
she was just like, and at our wedding, like... he had a set of twins in his party, I had a set of twins in my bridal party.
Oh, yeah. And she was like, isn't that a sign that we're so, we actually have the same values?
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
You're like, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's interesting, but it's just like, it's just like so random to be like, I didn't like meet anyone that he knew until the wedding.
Yeah. It's
and
also,
then like, B, that you think that is like so reflective of your personality that you both happen to know twins.
Yes, I fully agree with that where it's like they haven't met each other's friends or they have and just like a more like passing way. And she's like, hey, buddy, old G, and is waving to them. And then they like, you know, go their separate ways. It's also so straight to think actually that they're so different. She's like, we were so different. Chip was from this town in Texas, and I was actually from a little bit of more of a suburban town in Texas.
I usually date guys who are brunettes, and Chip kind of has red hair.
My dad was a little higher up at Firestone, and his parents were like a little bit poor. And you're kind of like,
but then his dad did get that really high paying job working for
American Airlines.
Yeah, in Dallas.
And you're kind of like, okay,
we are acing the pop quiz on this book.
Yeah, like I'm sure like that town is really different. I know Texas is a really big state. And again, if you are from Waco, call me out for being Framingham is obviously a lot different than Somerville. If we were to get into town stuff, but it's
right.
Like,
but I wouldn't be just like we're so different. Right. He's from Somerville. And yet we're also really different.
And you're always being so Joanna, just being like, it's so crazy.
Who are you in this book? I'm Joanna.
Yeah,
I got
you're
it.
Joanna.
Okay, back to them, to their values, though, and what small towns they're from. I do feel like, they're both obviously so farm-pilled, and, like, she's so farm-pilled,
yes.
And, like, they buy that farm later that they redo, and that around the same time that they're getting the TV show, and then the whole Magnolia aesthetic is, like, the silos and all the barn doors and, like, barn.
Like, they talk about how on their honeymoon, which, by the way, was a road trip from New York City to Maine.
And they were like just driving around upstate without Google Maps.
How
like,
fab is that?
No,
and then they went to Maine.
And
then
really
did you see note that part though? They realized that they were kind of done with their road trip and they got to Boston. They're like, okay, we're out of money and like
the
I'm
charm
good.
Is done.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
All honeymoons end in Boston.
Imagine.
So I feel like she is, I'm calling it, it's suburban cottage core. Because it's like she's so.
She says she's a bird. And like she's horny for silos in her childhood.
Yeah.
Because friends go to her house and are like, oh my God, this is so amazing.
And
then she goes
like,
to her farm friend's house and she's like, let's play in the silos.
Let's play in the silos. So it's like she is just kind of like every like cottagecore girl who's like. So
nap dress.
So nap dress.
I saw
and like,
so many nap dresses and we will get into that in the VIP lounge. But.
Oh, in Southampton.
Yeah.
But she's just like the Texas suburban version of that. Like she doesn't actually have this like farm background other than like knowing people who've had farms and seen farms and been like,
right.
I'm into
it. So they are totally different. And Chip is like does have a lawn irrigation business and like buying random houses in Waco and turning them into Baylor student housing.
Yeah. I mean, he's being more of like a...
He was already flipping.
He was flipping and being more of a kind of just like a real like town developer, like buying up like big parcels of land and like thinking of himself in more of the kind of like, I'm going to remake this town's image kind of way.
Right. And being a little more revitalizing downtown and like she...
And being so like, and because he was like, she's always talking about like how proud he was to like make friends with all the local kids. And we all gave the local kids jobs like cleaning up the shop and he would drive his tractor around and with the dogs and know everyone in the town and like... You know, he was the mayor of Third Street.
Yeah. And she's being very like the golden rule, like Chip. He may be crazy.
Yeah.
But he is the golden rule. Like, he gives a homeless guy, like, a job.
Yeah.
When we were all sketched.
Yeah. Basically, like, she's always just being like, I was really sketched by, like, random homeless people and just, like, teens in Waco. And he was nice to them and talked to everyone the same way.
Single one. So the first place they redo together, like, she was just going to work her way up at Firestone. Like, she didn't know. But then she started sketching. And he was like, damn, Chippity Joe. You got some good sketches. And then she gets more into it. And I remember in one of their first renovations, they're like putting in grout and he paints the grout maroon. Do you remember that part?
In the book?
Yeah, in the book. He paints the grout maroon and she like flips out at him and starts like screaming at him.
I mean, that's the worst.
How ugly is it? No.
So it's like paint it so it looks like it's rusted and dirty.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And
the grout maroon. The grout, what color are the tile?
I think it was white tile maroon grout.
Scary.
Yeah. And
that's so straight guy.
She flipped out.
As she should.
And he started over because that, I'll say it, in this Christian household, that pussy is too good.
Yeah. No, that that pussy be slapping, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, when I think about other design couples and like the Tarek and Christina, whatever, like all the guys are usually a lot more toxic.
Right.
Like he's kind of non-toxic in this way.
No, like he is pretty like slap happy and kind of like obsessed with her and like is always showing up with like 30 bunnies.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's buying stuff, but.
Wait, can I read you this one quote?
Yeah.
Gaines revealed in a blog that she isn't Native American, like some viewers had speculated. I love hearing all the guesses about my ethnicity. Although I did play Pocahontas in high school,
stop.
I'm not Native American. My father is Lebanese, half German, and my mother is full Korean. But it's like,
I love hearing guesses.
I love hearing guesses, and I did play Pocahontas, but I do feel like she is. I feel like she's definitely kind of rolling with the slight Native American thing a little bit.
Yeah, she thinks it because they are in like Waco, so she'll be like, she'll will use like a textile if
and
she
her,
can.
And her style in the show, she's always wearing like leather feather earrings and like a subtle, like a turquoise accent, very just like.
Which is Texas style.
Which is Texas, but I feel like her, she's like doing it just enough to be like, and if you think I'm Native American,
I'll go, yeah,
that's
fine.
I'm going to roll with it.
Just in the kind of that, like when J-Lo is like, if you think I'm playing Italian right now, or if you think I'm Chilean.
Yeah, or the Ariana Grande, just like, she's Latina if you need her to
if
be.
If you need her to be at this moment.
Okay, wait, let's...
Do some spoken word.
Let's do some spoken word. So this is going to be a new, maybe one-time segment, but maybe we'll do
a
it.
A segment when we want to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay, I love that.
Okay, no rules.
No rules segment. That you maybe remember from our live Eleanor Roosevelt episode.
New York City.
But we're going to read the notes that we prepared for the book as spoken word. Please welcome to the stage at New York Rickin Poets Cafe for the first time, seven-time winner of the Edgar Allan Jean Award, two-time recipient of the D'Agostino prize. Please welcome poet laureate of Ditmas Park, Lily Murata.
Moose. Their first date at the big steakhouse. Going broke in Boston. I wasn't into redheads. Chip is crazy behind a mouse. Marriage or mortgage. They really spent their whole honeymoon going to see Barnes. The Drake honeymoon. Love how the first half is about her. Internship, page 44. I love broadcast media. I've been praying about giving you the store. TFW, you find a wicker sleigh. Maroon grout, no TV, marriage counseling. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. I know, but I prayed about, as I said, as I prayed about it. The way we love HGTV. Our big sheet came from the heart. Be hornier for silos. Chip and producer came up with the sheet. Stop editing yourself. Chip quoting the Bible again. 116 subway tile. She's always listening. No TV. Marriage counseling.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you very much. I would like to introduce man who taught me poetry when I was nothing. He gave me $5 for butter on a roll at a bodega and a hot coffee black with three sugars. Welcome to the stage, Stephen Phillips Horst.
Baylor, comms major, their kids' names. I'm staying in Waco until God makes it clear it's time to move on. He shaved his head to support his friend with cancer. Leaves his keys in the car, so me, the proposal. Straight people do not know each other. We both had twins in our wedding party.
My dad worked his way up the corporate ladder at Firestone. She's sort of farm-pilled. They're both a bit farm, Dolezal, suburban cottage core. Okay, she's me, interning at 48 hours. This arrest, is that what makes you ACAB? I married someone with a lawn irrigation business, half Korean, her race. People think that saying you know when your parents say they're disappointed is their unique observation. Her classic design philosophy, old is beautiful, subway tile is timeless, the hypocrisy, strict parents. People don't like to shop at a mall with only one store or eat at a food court with only one restaurant. Ooh. You can't chase the Pinterest fantasy. You can't wait for things to be perfect, to be happy. You have to find the joy in spilled milk. 6 months without a TV, their premarital counselor.
I'm speechless.
Self-chills.
Insane obsessed that both of our... last things, right?
With the marriage counselor. Celebrity Book Club.
Hey, Club Kids. Here's a little taste of this week's VIP Lounge.
Where we discussed restaurant reviews from New York City, the Hamptons, and beyond. To hear the whole thing this Friday, go to patreon.com/CBCThePod and subscribe.
Eat
up. Excuse me? Where on the list?
By the way, at La Parmigiana, there were these like two girls that were so lacrosse and tan and athletic and blonde. And I was like, I think they're lesbians. And they ordered like so much food. They ordered like each a chicken parm thing, like
okay,
and
so
a pizza
bill
and pasta.
Was, like, $3.89.
Yeah. And I was like, I feel like they're lesbians. And Maya was like, no, I think they're just like athletes.
Yeah, I think they're athletes too.
Who are like carving up.
I don't think lesbians are in Southampton besides you.
The only time I saw one was at the farmer's market and I was shocked.
Well, yeah.
But it's the farmer's market. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, what are you doing here?
She was just like, I'm just doing some light tech.
Yeah, light tech on the B stand.
On the B booth.
I was also, by the way, like running away at the farmer's market because there was bees everywhere. And as you know, I'm allergic. And I was like, I can't go to the tomato stand. There's too many bees.
Subscribe on patreon.com/CBCThePod to get more content like that every single week for only $5 a month.
Get ready to see your segments.
What does she wear?
How does she live?
What does she eat?
What does she wear? Well, they're both always like in Magnolia Farm trucker hats.
Yeah.
And like he is in a Heathered Magnolia Farms t-shirt. And like, but he wears like flared cowboy jeans. Like he wears Wranglers that are flared.
Yeah.
In the bootcut way.
And this comes back to her being like suburban cottagecore, like so bone app. Like I feel like she's wearing such a like denim coverall.
Yes. She's all because it shows that she's like doing work.
I do work, but I like don't leave the store kind of vibes.
And that, my favorite part of the show is when she like sends Chip and the kids away for her to do her classic Joe final touches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When she's like, she just needs to be. Also, that was so me. I just like was really related to her. Just being like, you need to leave so that I can like move a candle around a mantle alone
for 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
And then people come back and are like, what? And of course, she's like, it's crazy in here. Chip, take the kids. And he's like, all right, kiddos. Like, who wants to go eat goat milk?
Yeah.
And she's in her denim coveralls, like with, yeah, the two candles, placing them in chandeliers. And all obviously, like a full another team comes in and like does stuff, but like, how does she eat? If we, to transition, watched her new like cooking show, which is like actually feels like you're like you are an alien. It's like so weird and it's so random because like she's not obviously they need to fill like hours on their network and people just love anything she does, but it's just like we don't need a cooking show from you. And she's making a Coca-Cola sheet pancake.
Okay.
And you're like, it's literally the most basic thing I've ever seen. She's literally just like, oh, no, this is so good to like whip up for friends or whatever. It's just a sheet of chocolate cake.
Did you pour Coke
that on? She like puts Coke in the batter. Huh. And then she just like started spreading chocolate frosting on it.
That sounds kind of good. as I sip my DC over
here.
Yeah,
you're like,
I'd love like maybe a DC cake.
And yeah, her affect was just so boring in it. I feel like without the
so this comes back to your theory that like there's no love left in the marriage and she's fucking
well
this
no
blacksmith.
Actually I was saying like he's not there and it's a little just like stagnant.
How do they live? I mean, yeah, I think we know their interior style.
Right. Though they do, the like, I feel like just until recently, like, they stopped. They, like, literally are always still, like, being so Ellen DeGeneres and, like, buying a home, moving out of it, redoing it, buying a shop, moving it out
of it. I'm so glad you said that. I had the same exact thought reading this.
I was like, relax. They're
always renovating a house. And yet, then I also thought, I had this thought. I was like, I had a thought. I had a thought.
So you were listening to one of the voices in your head.
The voice is Joanna Gaines. And I was like, it reminded me so much of Ellen, how the second that they finish renovating a house, they just have to buy another house and move into it and renovate that one.
Go, go, go.
But he had, you know, they have this sort of philosophical point at the end of the book where he's like, if you're comfortable, like, that's for when you retire. You know, if you're comfortable, like, then you're not actually happy. And she, and I had this in my notes, where she's like, you know, I realize at some point that you can't chase the Pinterest fantasy. You can't wait for things to be perfect to be happy. Because what happens then is, so then, okay, so imagine, you know, you have this fantasy in your head. You finish it. You finish the reno. Then you're sitting on your couch and you're like, whoa,
what do I do?
What do I do? You know what I mean? And so, in fact, you do have to always be renovating and you have to always be happy. You have to find the joy in the spilled milk
in
and
the
be
process.
Like, in the process, I'm happy right now. But I think that inevitably leads you to be like, well, I always have to be like working on something new and working towards something.
Well, I feel like I came to this, you know, it's this class thing where you, like, you're making something. You're like, oh, I'm going to be so happy when it, like, comes out. And I, like, post it on Instagram.
Exactly, exactly.
And then you post it and it's like, actually, that day is hell and you're refreshing likes. And you're like, you know what was actually fun? Making it.
Or, you know what? For me, it's like there's a moment in between. It's when you finish it, when you're, like, proud that you've done something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, of course, it's like when something happens, then it's gone and it's in the past and it's over. And you're just like, okay.
But After I finished the audiobook, I was listening to her on, like, a podcast called, like, Good and Gather. And it was, like, we talk with Gaines about, like, ramen. And she was talking about...
You've done so much research for this episode.
Well... I've been doing the work, I guess, for the past few years. This has been long game. And then I was like, well, when I'm on the train, I'll listen to this random podcast. And she was talking about how, like, they did step back when they started the network. And she was like, I want to give to other people. And she was like, and then I realized we did miss Fixer Upper a little, but I needed that space to go back to it.
Okay.
Who are you in the book? Obviously, you're Joanna.
I don't think you're Chip.
No.
You're not that impulsive.
No. Like, I do think maybe, like, in my relationship, I'm, like, more of the Chip who's, like, but I'm really not that impulsive in, like, buying a houseboat and, like,
yeah,
putting $20,000 down. I do like to carry a lot of cash. But, yeah, I would, like, never just, like, buy, like, a goat or a boat that doesn't work. And I'm just not, like, that crazy.
I feel like, are you her friend at Firestone who's just being like, oh, my God,
you have to talk to Hot John. Definitely friend at Firestone.
You're Donna at Firestone.
Firestone Waco. I still work there, but I've risen up.
You're like, I'm actually now assistant general manager of the whole front showroom.
And Joanna's like, I'm so proud. And I send people to Donna all the time, okay?
And it makes me feel my heart so full that I can send people to Donna and then I can give her that business and support her in the way she supported me over the
years. It's so beautiful.
All right. I give this book, I don't know, 2 out of 5 raw iron lanterns.
In the beginning of the book, it was like being more random and like Chip is crazy when he gets behind the mouse and starts clicking away at online shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I loved that part, but then it gets like a little just like carry the two and you're like, we borrow $10,000 and $12,000 and like...
I mean, they're boring. Sorry. And it's just like nothing really happens in this book. And like, I do love every time she's saying that just like, I never thought I'd marry like the owner of a lawn irrigation business.
Yes.
Or like when she says that she was a communications major at Baylor and like every Baylor mention is funny. But I'm just like, there's not enough happening in this book. Sorry.
No, and she's I'd rather just like watch the show.
And it's like, and we know that there's all this like other drama with the whole Magnolia Network and like all of that other show, those like that other couple that want to be Chip and Joanna that scammed all those couples that they co-signed off
of. Right, and they were, like, responsible for, and then they were like, we have nothing to do with them, and then they got in all that drama because of they're part of, like, such a scary Hillsong new evangelical church. And Joanna was like, I would never be against someone in the LGBT community. Never. Absolutely not. And it's like, their pastor was like, God hates fags.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, I do want to hear, I don't know. I mean, I don't need to hear so much about that, but it's like, there's obviously a lot more going on that they're not revealing. And it's like, after reading Mike Lindell's book that was so full of drama.
Well, that's Mike Lindell. He's completely insane. Yeah. They're like, literally have a network and like run a business. Okay, Joanna Gaines like runs a business. She's not going to show you all her cards.
So does Mike Lindell. Like, he and his business is probably more successful
than Magnolia?
I bet My Pillow has more revenue than Magnolia.
Revenue. But if we're talking PR, like how they look out to the world, like, the entire town of Waco, like,
last time I checked, a business is successful based on revenue.
Last time I checked, their power in the culture, Joanna and Chip have way more power than Mike Lindell.
I mean, Mike Lindell is like a surrogate for presidential candidates. I mean,
cultural that's capital. Not everyone knows who Mike Lindell is. Everyone knows who Joanna Gaines is.
Yes and no.
I think
I bet if you Us Weekly asked 100 people in Times Square who Joanna... Oh, people in Times Square would definitely know. They would definitely know who MyPillow and...
We're going to do this poll.
Magnolia Story is.
Anyway, it's random to compare those books.
Because they're both like business owners like from small towns who like...
Absolutely. I'm just saying like in what world would...
Are taking out like so many loans. It's like
would Joanna Gaines and are God-fearing. Similar... She's going to, like, start the page just being like, yeah, Chip fucks me in the ass every single day.
Yeah, I mean, then I'd be a little more interested.
No, yeah, that would be awesome if she wrote that. I guess I'm just, like, not expecting that because I'm a realist.
Yeah, you're kind of waiting and then nothing really happens.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens when they divorce and she talks about how she sleeps with the, like, blacksmith.
Can't wait.
All right, well, that's all for now.
We'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We'll see you on Friday for the VIP lounge. If you haven't subscribed, go to patreon.com.
Buy our Chicago tickets.
Oh, Chicago, please buy tickets to our Chicago show on October 7th. You do not want to miss it.
Sleeping Village. Things are going to get crazy.
Yeah, buy your tickets now. Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by this little old... Barn Prologue Projects. The show is produced by Benjamin Frisch, who makes amazing, amazing windmills, with editorial support from Leon Nafok, Andrew Parsons, and Arlene Arevalo, and Madeline Kaplan. They run, the four of them, they just run this cute little restaurant serving Christian food. Our production manager is Persia Verlin. We worked at Firestone together, and she's still there in heart, but has passed. Our intern is Noah John. He runs a goat farm. I just bought 10 of his goats. I took all of his goats. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horse. We went to Baylor together. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips. Chips NY. That's Chips' brother. He's hilarious, and I set him up with his wife. They're a beautiful couple. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBC The Pod. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review, and don't forget to tell your friends about us or visit us at Celebrity Book Club Farms. And don't forget to go to patreon.com for access to the VIP lounge, where our exclusive podcast is. It's a bonus, and there's recipes. Have a great day.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.